Good afternoon, I'm Sinead Spain with the day's top stories. Public disgust over CRC payout revelations.
The only thing I can say is I'm disgusted and I don't understand it.
Government promises action to stop a repeat of the scandal.
This government is determined to wipe out and to weed out the practices of the past.
And concern grows over missing Scottish toddler.
The bottom line is we don't know where Mikhail is, so we have to make sure that we try and use every single available opportunity that we have, and hence we would appeal to people to call that number.
100 to 102 Today FM.
This is the National Lunchtime News.
There's been widespread shock and anger at the latest revelations involving the Central Remedial Clinic. It emerged yesterday that almost €750,000 was taken from charity funds to pay the retirement package of former chief executive Paul Kiley. Representatives from other charities are expressing concern that it will deter people from making donations. Our news correspondent Fergal O'Brien reports.
The fallout surrounding the use of CRC funds raised through public donations to pay the pension of a former chief executive has been further compounded by the revelation at the Dáil's Public Accounts Committee yesterday of the sums involved. It was revealed that €740,000 was taken from the fundraising arm, the Friends and Supporters of the CRC, to pay Paul Kiley's retirement package last year. The amount is more than three times the €200,000 figure previously released. It has caused widespread shock and anger, with other charities now fearing their ability to raise funds will suffer. Fergus Finlay is the chief executive of the children's charity Bernardo's.
The thing is just disgusting. I would like to think that it is a hangover of a different political time, but I worry that it has just done immense damage to the reputation of the sector that I work in.
Alice Leahy is director of Trust, which helps homeless people.
I think it's done untold damage, and I think it is shocking. I think the good name of the CRC, will be destroyed. But I'm also thinking of the parents who are struggling there to get services. Parents will be suffering, people who give money will be hurt, the children who need these services will be hurt.
Lorraine Dempsey is a spokesperson for the Special Needs Parents Association.
Don't say, I'm never giving to charity again. Just satisfy yourself, put your hand in your pocket, because at the end of the day, these services and all the other charities, they still rely on your money.
A former employee of the CRC who wishes to remain anonymous says the revelations are heartbreaking.
Horrified, absolutely horrified. I worked there for over 20 years. I'm immensely saddened, and I don't know what to think or how to take it. What can I say? It's soul destroying.
The Health Service Executive, which has appointed an interim administrator to run the CRC, has said it will consider asking Gardaí to investigate the financial arrangements. A Gardaí spokesperson says no such complaint has yet been received. Fergal O'Brien, Today FM News.
Well, staying with that story about the latest revelations involving the Central Remedial Clinic, the Taoiseach says the government will do everything it can to make sure that charity donations are spent the right way. Our political correspondent Gavin Riley reports.
It's not often that everyone in Leinster House is of one mind on a public issue, but across the board there's shock and disgust at the use of charity funds for massive pension payments. Today, Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore promised action.
What I would say to people who make donations to charities is to assure them that the government is going to do everything that we can to deal with this issue and to ensure that the contributions that people make to charities go where the people intend them to go.
Finance Minister Michael Noonan paid tribute to the work of the PAC in trying to get to the bottom of the affair.
I like the Taoiseach. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. I thought we'd left that kind of culture behind us. And it's shocking to realise that there are still legacies around from a period when standards were different.
Social Protection Minister Joan Burton also expressed her shock.
I would certainly like very much to see the charities regulator being appointed, possibly on an interim basis, but certainly seeing that underway as quickly as the Department of Justice are able to make the arrangements.
The Taoiseach was asked if he was worried about the impact the scandal would have on charities.
I'm also concerned, may I say, on the effect that it's having on the CRC itself. The CRC does very good work. There are many families, many parents. I heard one this morning on radio who depend on the services that are provided by the CRC.
Those concerns are shared by Fianna Fáil, who today are asking for the state to take more drastic action at the CRC. Micheál Martin says the best way to make sure the CRC services are continued is if the HSE takes over the clinic on a permanent basis. But in terms of the payments discovered yesterday, there may be little that anyone can do. And so the question now is whether similar arrangements exist elsewhere and how they can be stopped in future. Gavin Riley, Today FM News, Leinster House.
A solicitor for a man accused of murdering his landlord in Castleknock in Dublin has asked for all recordings of his interviews with Gardaí to be handed over. Saverio Bellanti, who's originally from Palermo in Sicily, is charged with the murder of Tom O'Gorman at Beach Park Avenue last weekend. Trish Laverty reports.
Tom O'Gorman was found dead in his house in the early hours of Sunday morning. A post-mortem revealed he'd been beaten and stabbed to death. Saverio Bellanti, who rented a room at Mr. O'Gorman's house, was arrested and charged with his murder. After being medically assessed in custody, the 34-year-old was admitted to the Central Mental Hospital earlier this week. He was due before Clover Hill District Court this morning, but a letter from his doctor excused his absence, the reasons for which were not read out in court. Despite initially waiving his right to a lawyer, solicitor Michael Staines represented him today. He requested all recordings and memos of his client's interviews with Gardaí to be made available to him as soon as possible. Judge Victor Blake instructed the DPP to hand them over before January 29th, and Mr. Bellanti's case will be mentioned again on January 31st. Trish Laverty, Today FM News, Dublin.
Lawyers for Nora Wall, a former nun who was falsely convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl, are calling on the DPP to hand over certain documents. The information has been sought by the 65-year-old who's suing the state for damages arising from the miscarriage of justice. Our court's correspondent, Francesca Cummin, reports from the High Court.
In 1999, Nora Wall became the first woman in Ireland to be convicted of rape, a conviction that was subsequently declared a miscarriage of justice. It emerged that a key prosecution witness, Patricia Phelan, lied on oath at the trial. She later admitted that she'd fabricated evidence against the former Sisters of Mercy nun about witnessing her holding down the legs of a 12-year-old girl during a rape. She'd been called to give evidence at the trial against the directions of the Director of Public Prosecutions, who had found her statements unreliable. Nora Wall is now suing the state for damages and aggravated damages arising from the miscarriage of justice. As part of her claim, her lawyers are seeking disclosure of documents held by the Director of Public Prosecutions. They want details on any assessment made by the director on Patricia Phelan's unreliability and on what impact this would have had on the credibility of the alleged victim. Lewin O'Brien for Nora Wall says it's clear that much of the detail in the two women's statements about the alleged rape are substantially the same. This, he said, is despite the complainant's assertion that she'd not spoken to anyone about the alleged attack. He said the Court of Criminal Appeal found that it gave rise to a compelling inference of collusion. The hearing continues. Francesca Cummin, Today FM News at the High Court.
In Scotland, the jury in the trial of a Dublin man accused of murdering his mother is being sent out to consider a verdict. James Seamus Dunleavy denies killing Merino woman Philomena Dunleavy and burying her in a shallow grave in Edinburgh last year. Yesterday, the court heard how police could find no evidence that he had dismembered her. The Equality Tribunal has awarded a transgender woman €5,000 in compensation after it ruled she'd been discriminated against by AIB. Deirdre O'Byrne told the bank she had changed her name by deed poll in October 2010. And while AIB changed her name and gender on her credit card, they told her she would have to close down her CashSave account and continued to use her old name in correspondence. Louise Kelly reports.
In her deed poll in October 2010, Ms. O'Byrne said she would henceforth at all times use the name Deirdre Catherine O'Byrne. She contacted AIB to inform them of the change, and while they agreed to change her name and gender on her credit card, they told her she'd have to close down her CashSave account as she'd altered her entire legal identity. She says the worst thing about her three-year battle with the bank is that they still use her birth name when addressing her in correspondence. She says a letter was sent to an address that she just moved out of using her birth name, possibly outing her to an ex-landlady. The Equality Tribunal ruled that she had been discriminated against by AIB and awarded her €5,000 in compensation. Louise Kelly, Today FM News.
Hundreds of people have turned out to help in the search for a missing three-year-old boy in Edinburgh. Michael Cunar was last seen going to bed at around 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. When his family woke on Thursday morning, he was not in the house. Police say they're keeping an open mind in relation to his disappearance. Superintendent Liz McAinch is leading the investigation.
I remain optimistic, of course I do, but as time passes, we become deeply concerned. And so we are concerned, we're deeply concerned, but I would stress this is still a missing person inquiry and we are treating it as such. We have no evidence of criminality, although all lines of inquiry are being progressed. But of course we remain concerned and we just want to find Mikhail safe and well, and that's why we're urging members of the public to assist us. The fact that he may have wandered from the property by himself is one avenue of our focus, and of course we will continue to search in that local area.
Journalist Peter Gagan is based in Scotland. He's been following the case.
Yesterday, police activated what's called the National Child Rescue Alert System, which is kind of informs all the forces across the UK that this is a serious case, and this is a priority case for the police. And they've also set up a dedicated phone number so that anyone who has whereabouts of Mikhail can call. And the police have said that they're increasingly concerned about the child's whereabouts. And just this morning, they set up teams went to search along what's the Firth of Forth along the waterside in Edinburgh, which would not be maybe a mile or two from the child's home. So the police are treating it with a lot of increasing amount of seriousness.
Is there any suspicion that he may have been abducted?
So far there's been no suggestion from the police that he has been abducted. So the main working hypothesis at the moment is that he might have let himself out of the room of the house that he was staying in with his mother and his four siblings. And he went to bed on Wednesday evening. He normally shares a room with one of his sisters, but on Wednesday evening the child was feeling unwell, so he went to bed on his own. And so the last the mother saw of him was at 9 o'clock that night when she put him to bed. And when she went to get him up the next morning, just after 7 o'clock, he was missing.
Today FM Sport with Fujifilm Photo Tips. Did you know we can now print your photos from your smartphone in store now? Fujifilm. Live. Relive.
Nathan Murphy is at the lunchtime sports desk with Heineken Cup team news.
Yeah, Munster have made just one change to the side that beat Gloucester last weekend for Sunday's Heineken Cup Pool 6 game against Edinburgh at Thomond Park. Stephen Archer replaces BJ Botha in the front row. Munster are already through to the quarterfinals, but probably need a bonus point victory to have any chance of a home game in the last eight. Prop Callum Black will make his first ever Heineken Cup start for Ulster in tomorrow evening's game against Leicester Tigers. Roger Wilson also comes into the pack as Tom Court and Robbie Diak drop to the bench. Ulster will secure a home quarterfinal if they win at Welford Road. Connacht still have an outside chance of progressing ahead of tomorrow's game at Saracens. Dan Parks returns to the side at out half, with Gavin Duffy, Craig Clark and Michael Swift also selected in an experienced starting 15. Leinster meanwhile need just a losing bonus point from this evening's final Pool 1 game against Ospreys at the RDS to join Munster and Ulster in the last eight. A home quarterfinal looks to be beyond Leinster, but coach Matt O'Connor says even progressing from their pool is quite an achievement.
To be in a group, you know, with probably, you know, the strongest side in Wales, French champions and Northampton is a tough ask. But, you know, when we sat down at the start of the season, we approached it, you know, fairly pragmatically, that you got to win game on game on game. And, you know, thankfully, you know, for the large part, certainly away from home, we've been very, very good.
Rory McIlroy has moved into contention during the second round of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. McIlroy recovered from a double bogey at the sixth with five birdies in a back nine of 31. On 7 under par, McIlroy's three shots behind the leader, Rafa Cabrera-Bello of Spain. The European Ryder Cup captain Paul McGinley carded a second round 72 to stay on 4 under par alongside Michael Hoey. Shane Long has completed his transfer to Hull City. It's thought Hull have paid West Brom around £7 million for the Republic of Ireland striker, who signed a 3.5-year deal. In other transfer news, Manchester United midfielder Anderson is undergoing a medical at Fiorentina, and the Chelsea fullback Ryan Bertrand is to join Aston Villa on loan. Four-time champion Novak Djokovic is two sets and a break-up against Dennis Istomin in the third round of the Australian Open in Melbourne. Earlier, there were straight sets wins for third seed David Ferrar and seventh seed Thomas Berdych, while women's top seed Serena Williams was a straight sets winner against Daniela Hanchakova. And a century from Dubliner Owen Morgan wasn't enough to save the England cricketers from yet another defeat against Australia. England set Australia a target of 301 in the second one-day international at the Gabba, which the home side reached in dramatic fashion, as James Faulkner hit an unbeaten 69 to seal a one wicket victory with three balls to spare.
100 to 102.
Today FM weather with Bord Gáis Networks.
If you smell gas on the street, call Bord Gáis Networks. Don't assume someone else will.
Try and many.